Hello and welcome to the fifth in this series of interviews where we explore Thrive Worldwide's 9 principles of individual thriving. It's Jake Lloyd here, Thrive's Head of Marketing and Communications, and I'm sharing these interviews to help you think about what these principles mean for you and for our clients. And in this episode, the principle we're going to explore is this.
Thriving people are resourceful, creative, imaginative, and fun-loving.
That's Nancy Hogan, who as a member of Thrive played a key role in creating these principles. And in the interview you're about to hear, she'll tell me how you can start to take stock of your inner resources. She'll also explain why we often misunderstand what creativity means. She'll tell me how imagination can be a fuel for things that don't yet exist. And we'll talk about the challenge of being fun-loving at work when your work is primarily online. But I began by asking Nancy why she thinks this principle is so important.
Well, I think it's really important because I think, well, people are inherently creative, and it's just part of what it means to be human. So it's just, you know, trying to exercise this creativity that we're born with. We're born to grow and take in information and make connections. And children are just, you see children who are so creative and they're just like little sponges learning everything. And I think, you know, we lose sort of that wonder and magic as adults, but it's a different part of our brain rather than the amygdala, which is the fear part where we freeze up, and imagination and creativity is just freeze our brain up to problem solve and think, make connections that we wouldn't normally make and see solutions to problems, and to think outside the box, as it were, to find ways to grow. And it's like, you know, I talk about people being resourceful and having inner resources. It's like, it's just being able to take stock of, well, what have I been born with? You know, what culture, what religion, what beliefs, what values, what resources do I have? And then how can I use those, even if I'm in a difficult situation, to leverage those to grow and to flourish and to improve my life and not just get stuck in a rut or not grow. Like plants are created to grow. I think we're created to be creative. Mm. You know, I mean, like inherent in a plant is this potential to grow. And I think it's same with human beings. Inherent in us is this potential to grow and to make things. And, you know, we're, like I talked about last time, we're transcendent. So we're able to reflect and look back on our situation. And it's like, so we can make connections and that will help us improve our lives and grow as human beings.
Do any of these four, so there's resourceful, creative, imaginative, fun-loving. Do any of these four leap out to you personally at this moment in time?
You know, it's really fun. I'm really exploring fun-lovingness and fun and being playful and joyful. And I just think, part of creativity is just trying things and playing at them rather than taking them really seriously and having a sense of humor. I've just been looking at another aspect of the thriving, which I've just finished a paper for, on individuals have choice. And one of the things is, they have the choice to, humor helps us get perspective on our situation. So it's like, how can we look at things, see the funny side of things, and that gets us out of our negative thought patterns and, oh, everything's so terrible and I'm just going to die, you know? So I like having fun. And it really, you know, neuroscientists would say playfulness is really key for teams and for individuals, for making connections and fostering creativity. So I like that.
I've been thinking as I've done these podcasts, so this is the fifth one now, reflecting on the previous four, and I've decided I'd like to play devil's advocate just
sure.
A little bit more.
Okay.
And so this fun-loving thing, okay, right, fun-loving, when I think of it outside of work, I think, okay, well, I can think of a million ways to have fun outside of work. Inside of work, especially working remotely, I think it's harder. So previous work where I've worked in a newsroom with a bunch of other people, and you know, there's a lot of downtime as well, actually, in the work I used to do. The opportunity to have fun together, you know, playing practical jokes or something like that, there were plenty of those opportunities. I wonder if you think being fun-loving at work when you work online is more challenging, and how you think we can overcome that challenge?
That's a great question. I think one of the ways we do it in Thrive is through our WhatsApp groups. And, you know, people post a funny picture or a funny situation or, you know, a joke or, you know, something silly. That's one way to counteract it. I think in our meetings, you know, we have to work harder when we have virtual meetings to, you know, just crack a few jokes or celebrate at the beginning and maybe have I don't know. I mean, one of the things I would think would be really good is like having, I know people are so zoomed out though, they're so frustrated, but it's just to have like a non-meeting meeting where you just hang out, but I don't know how to do that. But it is more work. It is more challenging. And I don't think we've really, as an organization or, you know, not just us, but internationally, I was talking to some other leaders too the other day about how do we build up our social capital and this relationship that we build up meeting in person. And part of that is that team building, that having fun together, going out for a drink after work, or, you know, having a party for somebody who's having a baby, or, you know, whatever it is, you know. And we're just, it's so much harder online. I have to make more of an effort.
Yeah. I'm gonna move on. I want to talk about I was reading through the paper and I really loved this thing about resourcefulness. And I love the bit. So it distinguishes between external resources. So, you know, you talked about the kind of culture and the place in which we're born. But then the internal ones, these things within us. And there's the line, we should take inventory of the resources available to us and decide how to creatively mobilize them to both grow ourselves and to make our unique contribution to the world. Could you talk me through, how do you go about taking an inventory of your internal resources?
I think you look at, like, what are your strengths? What do you really love to do? What do you have fun doing? I was thinking about this in preparation for the call, and I was thinking about developing your resilience. So, well, it's paying attention. It's being mindful. What are you really good at? When are you in the creative flow? Like, what kind of activities do you just forget time and forget what's going on, and how can you do more of that? And what is it about that activity that somebody really loves and that causes them to lose time? And it's gratitude is another way of building your inner resilience. I think it's like taking stock of what you do have and practicing gratitude and focusing your attention on the things that you do have rather than just all the negatives, and being grateful develops those inner resource muscles. And then trying stuff, like I was just thinking about it. I took an oil painting class in my 20s, even though I was a terrible drawer and I got terrible marks in art class growing up. And I thought, oh, this will just be fun. And I just played and I just said, I'm just going to try. And so it's like not fearing failure or having self-compassion that you're not going to do it perfectly first time out of the box, and just letting yourself play. And I noticed, like, when I was learning a foreign language, I was so uptight about learning it perfectly in the grammar and stuff when I was in the States learning French. But when I went to France, I was so motivated to, like, just chat to people, and I just didn't care. And once I gave up that, oh, I have to be perfect at it, then I was able to just play and have fun. And then I actually got really good. Another thing is I took a flower arranging course when I lived in Malaysia. And if you know me, I'm not really a flower arranging type, but it was Ikebana. It was Japanese flower arranging. And I just had a blast with it because I just didn't take myself too seriously. And just said, oh, it's okay. It's a new skill. Let's just try something new. And then, if, you know, when you try something new and you succeed even a little bit, that builds inner resilience. That builds your resources and your creativity when you see yourself being creative and doing things. And experimenting, I think, helps build up that confidence.
You've segued really nicely to the next question I wanted to ask, which is about creativity. You might have actually answered it partially, but
yeah.
Okay, so this creative thing, like, I personally love creativity. That's, you know, all the work stuff I enjoy the most is creative, and a lot of the stuff I do outside of work is creative as well. But what would you say to people like it's very common for people to say, oh, I'm not creative. What would you say to those people who read this paper?
I would say to them, everybody's creative. It's just we have a misnomer about what constitutes creative. So we think, oh, the only people who are creative are the ones involved in the creative arts, you know, inverted commas, like music and art and writing and things like that. Whereas everybody is creative. Like you can have a creative accountant who designs a creative accounting system, somebody who likes engineering, who develops creative engineering solutions to really complex, difficult problems. And it's like, again, it's like when you notice what activities you do where you just lose yourself and you're in this flow where time and space don't matter and you're just experiencing joy and you're achieving something, you know, you feel like you're really, what is that activity? And you're being creative. That's what happens in creativity. And it's like joining dots, making connections. We all do it in different ways. Some people are just brilliant administrators and they develop great policies and solutions. That's creative. You know, I just think we mislabel things and say it's not creative when it is, you know, if it gives you joy, you know, and you're in the flow, then you're being creative.
You're giving really good answers here. My last question, why is imagination important?
Oh, well, I think it's so important because it helps us to see things from a different perspective. It helps us get outside of our own worldview and ourselves. Imagining is part of empathy. We can imagine ourselves in other people's shoes. We don't have to stay stuck in the status quo. If we're in a difficult situation, it's like we can imagine a different world. Like if we're getting really frustrated with the world as it is today, imagination is so important because imagination is the fuel for creating things that have never existed before. And it's creating, you know, making connections, joining dots, seeing the complexity in different ways so that we can come up with new ways of addressing problems or new ways of growing. We don't have to stay stuck. And it's imagining things differently. But I mean, like with science fiction, if people hadn't imagined going to the moon, I don't think we would have ever gone to the moon. Mm-hmm. So it can't happen until you imagine it first.
That was Nancy Hogan there discussing the fifth principle of individual thriving. Thriving people are resourceful, creative, imaginative, and fun-loving. That's it for this episode. In the next episode, we'll discuss the principle thriving is multifaceted and complex. Until then, bye for now.